Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaita Gadadhara Harsha Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Go Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dhamma Ki Jai. Mathura Dhamma Ki Jai. Nabadweep Mayapur Dhamma Ki Jai. Jagannath Puri Dhamma Ki Jai. Gangamaya Jamuna Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai. Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Gaura Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. Krishna Prastaya Bhujale Sri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharani Nirvase Sisanivadi Paskachate Satarani. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru and Vaishnavam Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Samsajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Padijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lavita Sri Vishakam Vitamstra Panchakapu Jivishcha Keep us in the Vivita Patitanam Pavanevio Vaishnavavu Namo Namah. So it is the 9th of June, 2023, in Ljubljana, Slovenia. And we're going to continue with our series of three classes of how to have the things in our daily life and in the world remind us of Krishna. This particular one goes in reverse. So the one we did last night and the one we'll be doing on Sunday morning is how to see things in the world and have them remind you of Krishna. This is how to start with Krishna's qualities and have things in the world that remind us of them. So first I'd like to ask if there's anybody who was successful between last night and today in having something in the world remind you of Krishna. Yes.
I wasn't here. But I was successful.
Okay. I'm grading myself as a teacher here, but okay, go ahead. What specifically?
Well, I was in the park and I saw one tree which was like a trident of Lord Shiva. And really, and then I remember how Lord Shiva is the great devotee of Krishna.
That's wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else something from the... That's nice. Anybody else something from the Bhagavatam that we were discussing yesterday that you were able to use? Yes?
The verse for chanting in the morning, so the sweet voice of the Lord.
And what did the bird singing remind you of?
It's Krishna's voice.
Krishna's voice, okay.
His artistic qualities.
His artistic qualities, yeah.
Oh,
that we're doing now. That you're ahead of me here. That's great. Anybody else? Yes, Prabhu.
How among all the noises that Krishna hears, he hears his name
even like... Oh, very nice that Krishna hears his name especially. So I was walking in the park. I try to take a walk every morning. So I was walking in the park this morning and seeing the birds and hearing the birds and walking among the trees, I was thinking of Krishna's artistic sense and thinking how I was walking on Krishna's body. So those are two things that I try to think of pretty much every day. Yes. Anybody else? Yes, Maharaj.
When my light bulb went off in my room, so I remember that Krishna is eyes as the sun illuminated.
Oh, very nice when your light bulb went off.
Because I had no light in my room.
Yeah, no. But we're also getting to a lot of those on Sunday about Krishna being the light. Okay. So Rupa Goswami describes Krishna's 64... Of course, Krishna has unlimited qualities, but he describes Krishna's 64 qualities in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which Srila Prabhupada gave a summary of in the Nectar Devotion. Now, the reason that Rupa Goswami is describing them has to do with the five components of rasa. So in order to have rasa, in order to have taste, sometimes devotees think that like just friendship is a rasa, but actually friendship is one of the five elements of rasa. So you have the basic relationship, like friendship or parental or conjugal or servant. Then you have what stimulates that relationship. Then you have how you voluntarily act on that relationship, how you involuntarily act on that relationship, and the various emotions within that relationship. So the basic relationship is called the sthaibhav, what Prabhupada translates as continuous ecstasy. Rupa Goswami uses sthaibhav and rati interchangeably. And then what stimulates that is called the vibhav, which is what we're going to be looking at today. Actually, this whole thing is about that. And then how you act voluntarily is called the anubhav. How you act involuntarily is called the sattvikabhavs, which Prabhupada calls existential ecstasy, which has to do with the word sat. And then there's the changing emotions called the sanchari or the vyavichari bhavs. So all of those have to mix together to get rasa. Just like if you're going to make a drink, you're mixing together like milk and banana and sugar and put them together and you have a drink. So in the second one, the stimulants, what stimulates our love for Krishna, we have two main categories. The alambana, which Srila Prabhupada translates as basic, and the udipana, which Srila Prabhupada translates as compelling. So what we're talking about generally here is the udipana, but today's is in Rupa Goswami's category of the alambana, or the basic. Now, in the alambana, there's again two parts. There's Krishna and the devotee. Now, particularly, this is the devotee who has a mood similar to you. So any devotees are over here in the udipana, but devotees who have a similar mood are here in the ashraya. But looking at Krishna, the Vishaya, so what brings out our love for Krishna are Krishna's qualities. Does that make sense to everybody? Yes? When I become aware of Krishna's qualities, naturally I feel attachment and love and devotion for him, and then I want to serve him. Yes? Clear?
Yes.
Oh, right. Now, there's a little technical thing. If you think of Krishna's qualities as part of Krishna, like Krishna who is so beautiful, then it's in the category of alambana vishaya, and if you think separately of Krishna's beauty, that's an udipana. That's just a little technical thing, and you don't have to remember that at all. But if you want to remember that, you can. All right, so we can, of course, just simply meditate on Krishna's qualities in terms of his form and his lila, but what we're looking at is that how do we get reminded of Krishna's qualities when we are interacting with the world? Because our main interaction is with the world, and in fact, Srila Prabhupada wants that. He doesn't want us to be a bunch of, you know, bhajananandis sitting at Radhakund. I mean, we do have one ISKCON temple at Radhakund, so those people can sit there, but they're also preaching. Prabhupada wanted us to be preaching. Prabhupada wanted us to be active. And Srila Prabhupada wanted us to establish a Varnashram society. This means that we're working in the world. And all of this is very much related to Bhagavad Gita 8.7. So I always found it interesting that in 8.6, what's Bhagavad Gita 8.6? Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam. Everybody who know this? Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam twajat jante kalevaram. Tam tam eva tikanteya sadatad bhavabhavitaha. Which means that whatever you think about when you die, that's what happens. So we would imagine that the next verse Krishna would say is, okay, just go to Vrindavan, sit down by the Yamuna, and just think of me and chant Hare Krishna. But what does he say in the next verse? Yes, go ahead.
Because my sarvesha kali shu mamam nusmara yuja cha mayarpita manobhu tir mame vashati samshaya.
Mam anusmaram yuja cha. Think of me while you're fighting. Interesting. So that's what we're focusing on. Mam anusmaram yuja cha. Not that we're all fighting. Please don't fight unless that's actually your duty. But in other words, think of me while you're doing your activities. All right, so Rupa Goswami has these divided into bodily qualities such as softness, mental qualities like genius, speech qualities like linguist, which we'll
connect with what you're doing. And we're not going to read this slide, do not worry. But this is the list of Krishna's 64 qualities. Now, the first 50 of these qualities, we also have these qualities, and I feel that that fact is one of the most wonderful and enlivening aspects of our philosophy, which we don't have time really to discuss today. But in many religions, people think that we are born evil, that we are intrinsically evil, and there has to be like heavy rules and punishments to force us to be good. But our, and then you have the New Agey people who think that we're all good and it's society making us bad. Where actually we're all good and our karna guna sangasya, because we associate with the modes, we act evilly. But these first 50 qualities are also our qualities as the soul. Isn't that nice? We're all wonderful, actually. Yes. All right, beautiful bodily features. So I'm not going to read each slide here. But we can certainly be reminded of Krishna's beautiful bodily features by seeing the beauty in the universal body. The beauty of the flowers, the beauty of the sunrise, the beauty of the mountains, the beauty of the water, right, in the stream when the sun is shining on it and it looks like diamonds. And we can be reminded, this is beautiful because Krishna's beautiful. And this is his body. And auspicious. Krishna's body has auspicious lines, auspicious symptoms. So it's hard sometimes to remember that everything that happens to us is actually auspicious. Many times things happen in our life that seemed horrible and terrible and difficult, but we can remember, actually, everything is auspicious. Everything that Krishna does with his devotee is meant for our benefit, even for the non-devotees, actually, even for the demons. And whenever we can see this, whenever we can see, oh yes, Krishna's acting for me in a way that's auspicious, we can remember that his body is very auspicious. Now, pleasing, ruchira. So this reminds me of Lord Brahma's prayer in Chapter 14 of the 10th canto, that as Prabhupada translates in Krishna book, this temporary existence of the material world appears to be pleasing and dear on account of its having evolved from your body. So whenever we find something in this world that we feel is pleasing, you know, the face of our child or our garden or whatever it is, we can remember this appears pleasing to me because it is coming from Krishna's body, which is just so pleasing and satisfying. And now we come to effulgent. So Krishna is very, very bright. And we can remember this whenever we see anything bright, even the screen on our phone. Yes? The screen on our phone, the screen on our computer, the light coming through the window, right? The brightness in someone's eyes. All of this, actually, Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita, he's the source of all light and all luminous objects. That whatever we see is bright, this reminds us that Krishna is unlimitedly bright. And Krishna is very strong. So where I stay in North Carolina, there's one of the men there, one of the devotees, who is extremely strong. I don't know how much time he spends at the gym, but it must be a lot. So his arms are like this big around, you know. It's like this. Whenever we need something carried, we say, you know, hey, Bhakti Chris, come carry this. So the other day somebody was saying, Chris, you're very strong. And I said, yes, you have a little bit of Krishna's strength. Whenever we see someone strong, we can think, yes, but Krishna's so strong, he doesn't need to work out at the gym. And he doesn't have like arms like this big. But still he lifts up Govardhan Hill, and he's carrying all the planets just like a little seed on his head. So we can be reminded of this. Also, whenever we see the strength in nature, like yesterday we had that big rainstorm, right? The strength of the water, the strength of the wind. Krishna is very strong. And Krishna is always youthful. So we were just in Italy, and there, of course, they liked Michelangelo very much, but he depicted God as an old man, right? So nobody wants to die, but also no one wants to be old. Like people say to me, Ermila, I hope you live a long time. And I'm like, I don't know if I really want to live a very long time. Because getting old is not fun. Any of you who are young and you think we old people are a different species. But anyway, it's not like that. So Krishna is always youthful. And youthfulness is so attractive. Hey, even baby animals are attractive. Hey, the flowering spring, the beginning buds and the beginning flowers, and just youthful energy. Everyone is attracted to youthful energy. Even ugly people look nice when they're young, isn't it? Prabhupada said, any girl 16, she looks nice even if she's ugly, but she gets one chance, you know, at youthfulness. So it reminds us how Krishna is all youthful, this strong attractiveness of youth. Anytime we see this in our environment. And here we come to your meditation, that Krishna is a wonderful linguist, that Krishna can speak all languages, even the languages of the animals. So sometimes we meet people who know many languages. When I was at our conference, a communication conference in Italy, one of the devotees there knew 13 languages. We have our godbrother Ridai Nandamarj. He just spends half an hour studying a language and then he can speak it, right? He knows so many languages. But I don't think he can talk to the birds. I don't think so. I'll ask him, but I don't think so. But Krishna can speak all languages, and that's very nice when you're hearing the birds thinking, oh, they're saying something. I don't understand what they're saying. But Krishna can understand. Yes? Or our Prabhu who's translating, he can remind us of how Krishna is such a wonderful linguist. And Krishna can hear our prayers and our desires no matter what language we speak. And Krishna is very truthful. So I don't think, is anyone here 100% truthful?
Very bad,
I'd be lying. Yeah, exactly. Only Yudhisthira. So when we keep our word, when we are truthful, we feel satisfied, isn't it? We have this feeling, oh, I've kept my word. I've kept my word of honor. Even when it's difficult, right? Especially then, when we keep our promise, even in difficulty, we have this sense of satisfaction. And when someone keeps their word to us, and that reminds us of just a little bit of how wonderful Krishna is in his dependability and his truthfulness. And very pleasing talker. So sometimes we also have this experience. Sometimes we are dealing with a difficult person and we deal with them very expertly. Have you ever done that? Like you've got some really difficult person and you just say just the right thing and you're like, yes, I dealt with that person. And we can be reminded, Krishna is so expert, even talking to the demons and Kaliya. He says, you know, I would like you to stay, but you know, you have this poison and I have to bring my cows and please don't mind. Please leave Vrindavan. And Krishna is fluent. So Krishna can say things with all politeness, yes? And everything he says has so many meanings. And I think in every language there's a kind of comedy, a kind of humor that is based on the various meanings of words, yes? In English we call it a pun. When you say something, but you mean another meaning. And it's very humorous, yes? So whenever we hear some humor like that, we can remember Krishna. And highly learned. So Krishna is not only very educated, but he's very moral. Srila Prabhupada would often talk about how many people today, they're very educated, but they're not very moral, isn't it? Right? In so many of the colleges and universities, people are simply, it's like a... the home base of Kali Yuga. Right? There's just so much intoxication, illicit sex, meat eating, and gambling, even though they are so-called very educated. So when we see people who are both educated and moral, I think of our Shastric Advisory Council member, Hari Parshad Prabhu. So he's one of the most learned people that I know. I mean, his knowledge of Shastra is, I, unbelievable. And he's also such a gentleman, such etiquette, such moral behavior. So when we meet people like this, we can think, Krishna is the supreme and highly intelligent, knows exactly how to deal with things. Prabhupada would say that people like to glorify some scientists like Einstein with a big brain, but one should think, who has created the scientist? So whenever we meet people who are intelligent, who is the intelligent person who has created this intelligence? I remember when I was very, very, very new in the Hare Krishna movement, so I had just read Adi Lila chapter 7, which was published as a separate book, and there is the discussion between Prakasananda Sarasvati and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on Mayavad philosophy. So, and Srila Prabhupada in the purports really says, this is the Mayavad thing, this is the answer. So I practically, inhaled that book. And then at the Sunday feast, there was one Indian gentleman and came and was speaking to me. And he was speaking all these impersonal arguments, and I was giving all the answers right from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada. And at the end of the conversation, he looks at me and he said, you are the most intelligent person I have ever met. And I was able to look at him and I said, this is not my intelligence. So we remember Krishna's intelligence, which comes, of course, through A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And Krishna is a genius. So Rupa Goswami gives such a nice example here. This is also a pun where Krishna is playing with words, with the Sanskrit word vasa, which means your clothing and your where you live and your fragrance. So Krishna had told Radharani he would come in the evening, but he didn't come until the morning. And when he came, he must have been missing his chadar or something, because she says to him, so where are your clothes? And he says, I live in your eyes. And she said, I'm not asking where you live, I'm asking where are your clothes. And he said, I have this nice smell because I am standing next to you. And so she was then she was pacified. So again, when we hear this kind of genius humor, we can remember Krishna. And very artistic. We were talking about in the Bhagavatam, it says we see his artistry in the birds, but we see his artistry in the flowers, in the sunset, in the trees, in all the different species of life, in all the different formations of rock and water, and we're always seeing how Krishna is so artistic. And particularly Rupa Goswami mentions that he's artistic in how he dresses. So whenever we see someone dressed very nicely, we can remember, yes, Krishna is very artistic. And he's very clever. So Rupa Goswami describes clever as what we call multitasking, when you can do many, many things at once. So we see people doing this, right? There is the woman, she's cooking, and she's listening to a lecture, and she's watching her children. Yes? We see, or whenever we are, Krishna's the, how much is Krishna multitasking? How much is Krishna multitasking? Inconceivable. Inconceivable. Just with how many people are here. We have like 20 people here, maybe 15, 20 people. So Krishna is organizing all of our destiny, individually and collectively. And there's what, 7 billion people on the planet? Just, right? Ananta Prabhu managing the temple, is it a big job?
I'm stunned.
Yeah. Could you imagine if you had to manage all the people in the world? And then also all the plants and the bugs and the, and then all the planets and make sure that they don't collide? Like the air traffic controllers, they have to make sure the planes don't collide. Imagine all the planets, and they're exactly on time. And Krishna is such an incredible multitasker, managing all these things. Especially we can remember this whenever we see how things are working so perfectly, right? He's expert. Whenever we see anyone who's expert in anything, Krishna is a supreme expert. Whenever we take pleasure in our expertise, grateful. Gratitude is one of the 14 items of knowledge, and the Panchatantra says that the worst person is the ungrateful person. I think it's one of the most painful things when we deal with someone who is ungrateful. And there's a lot of empirical evidence that a deliberate practice of gratitude improves our physical and mental health. That when we go through life being grateful, that our body works better and our mind works better. And we also just feel happier, right? Instead of complaining. To be grateful for things. And Krishna's grateful. Krishna's grateful for a little water. Yeah? So many devotees on their altar, they have a cup like this big for water. Yeah? I saw one altar, they had a cup like this big because they had little Jagannath deities like this big, and then they had a cup like this big. You could put in, you know, one drop of water. So who is, any of you would be grateful for one drop of water? But Krishna is so grateful. Yeah? Patram pushpam palantam. Very determined. Yes. So we tend to take Krishna's determination for granted. We know exactly when the sun will rise. We can count on it. We tend to forget, oh yeah, the sun's rising. When we see that these things happen, that we can depend on Krishna, we can remember that he's determined. Expert judge of time and circumstance. Did you ever meet just the right person at the right time for the right thing and you're like, wow, Krishna's timing was amazing? Yes, you've all had this experience?
Yeah.
Yeah? And you can remember, oh, Krishna's such expert judge at understanding time, place, and circumstance. To see by the authority of the scriptures are our guidebook. They tell us what to do, what not to do, how to behave. Whenever we are using our GPS in the car, whenever we are using a map, yes, just like we are guiding our life by our map. So Krishna is guiding everything by the shastras. And Krishna is pure. He doesn't become contaminated and he can purify everyone. We can remember this. Whenever we are breathing clean air, we're very lucky here in Ljubljana that you have clean air and clean water. Yes. The fire that's purifying things, when we bathe, when we're chanting, how Krishna is the supreme pure. Krishna can fully control his senses. Yes. We can remember this when we see the mountains. No matter how they are affected by wind and rainfall, they remain steady. That Krishna always remains steady. He never has any kind of fall down. And he continues to work until he achieves his desired goal. Prabhupada writes that that Krishna will drag us to ultimate success. Yes, although I ask Krishna, please don't drag me, just make it, you know, help me to come nicely without your having to drag me. But when we see like this, that Krishna is helping us, even when we're struggling, even when we forget him, that Krishna helps us, he's steadfast. He's never going to give up. You know, we give up, right? We try to help people, we're like, oh, forget, I can't help this person. But Krishna doesn't give up. Oh, we were reminded this in the story of Gopakumar by Sanatana Goswami, where Lord Vishnu says, I was dancing like a fool lifetime after lifetime, wondering when will you come to me? And very tolerant. So of course we can remember Krishna's tolerance when we are walking, because the earth is very tolerant. We are digging into her, we are mining her, we are polluting her, we are walking on her, but still Krishna is very tolerant and the earth is also tolerant, very forgiving. So all of us in our lives, if we want to deal with other humans, we have to ask for forgiveness sometimes, yes? Nobody can live without ever saying, I'm sorry. Not if you want any friends. So whenever people forgive us, whenever we forgive others, we can remember how forgiving Krishna is. And very grave. Krishna doesn't always reveal his plans. He doesn't always reveal his desires. He can be very hard to understand. And we were thinking, I was thinking about this yesterday when we were driving and we saw all those rain clouds. And it would be raining and then it would stop. And then it was raining and then it would stop. And you see the dark clouds and you never know, are they going to rain or are they not going to rain? And when we see that, we can remember how Krishna is very grave, very self-satisfied. He is happy to give his credit to the devotees. He doesn't get offended. Yes? And we can remember this whenever we see a cactus, like a succulent plant. They're not disturbed by their environment. They keep their water inside. They are very self-satisfied. Having equilibrium. Yes? Being kind to everyone. Being willing to punish a son if he's a demon. Being willing to accept the demon if he surrenders. Yes? And we can remember this with the rain, like Jesus said, that it pours its water on everyone. Very charitably disposed, always want to give in charity. Of course, Krishna says in the 18th chapter that even great souls should do dana, even great souls should do charity. So all of us should give in charity. Charity is different from yajna. He says yajna, dana, and tapa. Yajna is like we offer food to Krishna, and dana, or charity, is like we give the prasadam to the devotees. Yes? You cannot do charity to Krishna unless you don't know it's Krishna. That's another thing. That's a rasa. So whenever we are finding satisfaction from giving in charity, we can remember that Krishna is unlimitedly charitable. Every day giving 13,000 cows from 16,000 palaces and giving so much charity to everyone. Very religious. Always acting and teaching in accord with the scriptures. So we should try to exemplify this in our own life. But we can also see this in the planets that all, like Lord Kapiladev says, the planets are moving in fear of the Lord. The wind is blowing in fear of the Lord. That the movements of the universe are following Krishna, who is also very religious and very heroic. So, of course, I think of Krishna's heroism whenever I think of Srila Prabhupada coming to America when he was 70 years old with no money and not really any friends. I mean, one man he didn't even know. No real connections, no long-term place to stay. Yes? With some books. You see those original books, the printing quality was not so good. Yeah, the paper quality was not so good. The grammar and spelling was not so good. The lines were not straight. And all he just had those books, right? But he was so heroic that he came somehow or other to save us. Right? He didn't give up. Reminds us of Krishna's heroine, compassion. We're so grateful that Krishna is compassionate. So this is, of course, particularly he's compassionate in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And whenever anyone is kind to us or whenever somehow we act in kindness, right, we can remember this. This is something you can remember with trees. If you're familiar that trees, they feed other trees under the ground. They're sharing their food underground. And sometimes you've seen in a forest, someone cuts down a tree, they just leave the stump. And then out of the stump, you will see new shoots. Have you ever seen that? Yes, so you wonder, how does this stump, it has no leaves, how is it getting the energy? Why doesn't it just die? What's happening is the other trees under the ground, they are having compassion. And they are sharing their food with the root system of the stump and allowing it to have the energy. So whenever you see that, you can think of Krishna's compassion. Respectful. So we see respect throughout the natural world. The ocean respects the shore, right? An animal, it will smell the scent of another animal and say, oh, this is that animal's territory. I will not go there. The stars, they become invisible in the night. They become invisible in the day, respecting the sun. But the sun also ceases to shine in night, respecting the moonshine. Among the animals, among the elephant herds, the horse herds, they respect the chief matriarch in the herd. The animals in the jungle, they respect the lion. Right? The wolves, they respect their leader. We see this respect everywhere.
Tulsi.
Oh, you're going to talk about the spiritual world?
We respect Tulsi here.
That we respect Tulsi.
Well, how all the plants...
Yeah, so you're thinking, but Maharaj is reminding us of this wonderful, wonderful verse in third canto, yes? About the spiritual world, how all the beautiful and scented plants respect Tulsi. Now, Tulsi doesn't appear to be very beautiful. She doesn't appear to have many beautiful colors or a scent like, you know, gardenias and roses. Of course, one devotee recently was making a garland for Krishna with flowers and Tulsi mandaris, and she told me how all of a sudden she was smelling this divine fragrance from Tulsi.
Tenth canto also.
Yes.
At a certain time of the day, Tulsi emits a certain fragrance which attracts everyone.
Can you send me that verse number? I would like to get that verse number. There's also the birds in the spiritual world that respect the bees. And again, we don't think of bees as making a very pleasant sound. Of course, we were just in Italy where they have these linden trees that were covered with bees. It sounded like the trees were singing. Very gentle. And Mahaprabhu gives an example of fruit trees laden with fruit that are very, very gentle. So very liberal. This does not mean politically liberal. We're not saying that Krishna is a member of some particular political party. But we can think of Krishna's liberality whenever we see gemstones, right? The gemstones, they've been mined from the earth with great force, but yet they still give their beauty and light to everyone. So Krishna is very shy, and we talked about this yesterday, how he's modest, that he doesn't always sign his paintings. Everything seems to happen automatically. The protector of surrendered souls. Yes? That even if someone's done a great wrong, if they actually surrender, Krishna will protect them. So these are some of the most popular stories in the world of evil people who become redeemed, who become purified. It's one of the main... if any of you are familiar with writing, with narratives, it's one of the main plots that people are attracted to, is the sinful or evil person who finds redemption. And whenever we hear such stories, we can remember this. So it's now 8:46 in Ananta Prabhu, and I have a notice here that I'm supposed to end now. So we've gotten about halfway through Krishna's qualities. So should I end now, or should I do any more, or what would you like me to do? I can go. Is that okay with everybody else? You're not too hungry? No? Once in Chaupati, they told me to speak till 10:30, and I said, not unless everybody has snacks in their pockets. Okay, Krishna is always happy. And Rupa Goswami says, we know he's always happy because he's surrounded by money and riches and beautiful women. Of course, this is the tendency in this world. People want to be surrounded by money and riches and beautiful women. Of course, in this world, they get into a lot of trouble. It doesn't make them very happy. But we can see this in the world, right? The birds dancing, the flowers opening to see the sun, music and dancing among humans. Right? Everyone is trying to be happy. Ananda Maya Vyasa, we're all seeking happiness. This can remind us how Krishna is always happy. Well-wisher of the devotees. So I hope all of us have some well-wishers in our life. Some people who really care about us, and really want this to be happy and will really sacrifice for us. So such people can give us some little idea of how much Suridam Sarvabhutanam, that Krishna is our well-wisher, and controlled by love, controlled by Sudama Vipra, Mother Yasoda. And we can see this in animals and in the animal's owner. When you see people walking their dog, the owner is controlled by love for this animal. Prabhupada was so amazed. He didn't see this in India, you know. When Prabhupada came to the West and he saw people walking their dog and waiting while the dog passed stool. Of course, in those days, they didn't clean up the dog poop. So I think Prabhupada would be even more surprised today to see people going with their little bags and cleaning up. But why are they doing that? Because they love their dog. They love their dog. And remember that Krishna is also controlled by love. Yeah? All auspicious. That actually everything is auspicious. There's a flood, but the flood brings new, rich soil. The presence of the predator animals, it keeps the population of the prey animals balanced. The death of some creatures, it fertilizes the ground for the next. Actually, everything is auspicious. The most powerful, whenever our enemies are vanquished, we can remember how Krishna always puts his enemies into calamities. I really had fun making this slide. Parasaram and Varaha and Nisingadev and Ramachandra. He's destroying enemies. All famous. Yes. His fame is like the moonshine. So this is Balaram, whose dress turns white. I didn't have anywhere the Yamuna turned into milk. And the cowherd girls started to churn into butter. But whenever we see the moonshine, we can think of how Krishna is so famous and very popular. Yes? Just like when it's yesterday, when it was raining, and then the sun came out, the sun was very popular. Everybody was very happy. Oh, the sun! This can remind us how whenever Krishna appears, oh, there's Krishna. Very partial to his devotees. So most of us have some partiality towards someone, usually family member or good friend. And someone may be partial to us. Anybody who holds a special place in our heart, we can think of, yes, the devotees, Krishna is so, this is his supermost quality, his bhakti vatsal, very attractive to all women. I think we can remember this whenever we use a magnet. That's all the iron going to the magnet. Because Krishna was like a magnet and the gopis were like little pieces of iron. You can also think of this, sometimes there's some famous person that all the women are running after them. As when I was young, the Beatles were like that. Like they would sing some, play some music and all the women wanted to just touch their cloth. All worshipful. And we can remember this whenever we see churches and mosques and synagogues and temples, that Krishna is the most worshipful. He's even worshipped by other forms of himself and all opulent. Yes. How even the dust of Vrindavan, one particle of dust, is more valuable than a Chintamani stone. Each of his qualities, His renunciation, it's greater than that of the sky. Krishna compares his renunciation to the sky, which is detached, or to the ocean that's not affected by rivers. His fame is greater than that of the sun. Right? His strength greater than that of the hurricanes. And all honorable. This is such a funny story Rupa Goswami gives of how we know that Krishna is honorable, that he's making the demigods wait to see him. You know, they have to wait in his waiting room. And even the assistant says, Indra, stop saying your prayers out loud. You're bothering everyone. And Varuna, come back another day. He's too busy. So sometimes we have to wait. Yes? You have to wait to see the doctor. You have to wait to see some government official. Oh, you can remember this when you're on hold on the phone. You know, we call on the phone. Please hold on. You are in line. It will be another 24 minutes. And then they're playing some stupid music, you know. Ah, even the demigods, they have to wait to see Krishna. I really like that story. The demigods are waiting to see Krishna. And the supreme controller. Whenever we feel our helplessness, we cannot refuse what is happening in the weather or anything in our lives. We remember that Krishna is the supreme controller. He's completely independent, no matter how much power we think we have. All right, so that's the end of the qualities that we all have. Then there's qualities shared with Lord Shiva and with Vishnu, that he's not changeable. He's changeless. We can notice this in the repeating of things in the world, the sunrise, the sunset, the things in the world that are not changing, and all cognizant. Such wonderful how Krishna knew that Draupadi was in trouble, and he came and he ate that little bit from her pot. So sometimes the government tries to be like this. Yes, or like Google or something. You know, how the government knows where we are and what we're doing. If you have a smartphone, believe me, the government knows where you are and what you are doing. Or sometimes you see this, you know, like on social media, some advertisement, you know, you look for some of your... Sometimes you just talk about it. Isn't that weird? You just talk to somebody about something and then the advertisement for the thing pops up and you're like, oh boy, someone's listening to my conversations. But they are not perfect, of course. There's no government, there's no, you know, security place, there's no search engine that is actually all cognizant. But it can remind us, Krishna is actually all cognizant, and thankfully he's beneficial. He's not going to use everything he knows about us to try to manipulate us. He's going to, he wants to know that because he loves us. And ever fresh, Krishna is ever fresh. So whenever we have the seasons come and they're always fresh, when you meet some friend after a long time and it's like a fresh meeting, or whenever we read the Shastra, particularly I find this when I read Shastra, that there's always fresh meanings. I mean, how many times have we read the Shastra? Not as many as Prahladananda Swami, but many times. But I'm sure every time, why are you reading so many times? Because it's always fresh, right? How many times have you read the Bhagavad Gita now? What number are you up to now? Did you stop counting? Wasn't it like 160 times or something?
It was, yes.
It was, so now we're more. Maybe now 200 times he's read the Bhagavad Gita. And if you ask him, Maharaj, can you please read me a chapter? He'll just tell you without opening the book. Yes? But why? Because it's always fresh. I don't know if there's anyone who's read, and even the big fans of Shakespeare and Harry Potter, I don't think they've read 200 times. It would become boring. So this we can remember whenever we read Shastra, and whenever we chant. Okay? If you really meditate on the Hare Krishna mantra, it's always fresh. And Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about in his Bhajana Rahasya how all of Krishna's pastimes are contained in the different words of the mantra. That he has an eternal form of bliss and knowledge. We can see this in our own search for this. We want to live forever. We want to understand things. Right? That is because Krishna is like that. And all mystic perfections. We can think of this whenever we see people who do magic. They have some little trick, but Krishna has all mystic. Prabhupada talked about this one time, how he saw some street magician, and he was thinking, oh, Krishna is the greatest magician. And then the qualities only with Narayana, inconceivable potencies. Right? Srila Prabhupada talks about how all of us have a little bit of inconceivable potencies. We see how just an oyster can take a little piece of sand and turn it into a pearl. Or like we saw with Nelson Mandela, by his forgiveness, he united a whole country. That's a little bit of mystic power. How one person having faith in God, like Jesus, has been able to affect millions of people. So what to speak of Krishna's mystic power? His body creates innumerable universes. We can be reminded of this whenever we see children blowing bubbles. All the universes. Or sometimes you see from a plant, they produce these so many seeds that like fly in the air. All these little seeds. We can remember this. Right? Or a person gives a speech, and by that speech they inspire millions and millions of people. Or some business that opens some chain stores all over the world, you see the same business. And we can remember how Krishna is just millions of universes. The original source of all incarnations. So any heroes can remind us of Ram. Anyone who roots out corruption can remind us of Parasaram. Anyone who teaches peace can remind us of Buddha. Anyone who protects children can remind us of the Singhadev. Anyone who's a quiet and peaceful support person can remind us of
Kapiladev,
and my favorite, Kurma. Anytime you see any of the devotees, they're just really quiet and peaceful, and they're always there supporting everyone. Krishna has an incarnation like that. He gives salvation to the enemies that he kills. So again, this is something we can remember whenever anyone forgives us. We've done something wrong, and we say, I'm sorry, and the person says, that's all right. Yes? They have liberated us from the natural reaction to our offense. When we're forgiven, that means we have to kill our selfishness. You follow? In order to really say, I apologize, it means our selfishness has to be killed. The attractor of liberated souls. So we see in this world, many people are attracted because of freedom instead of necessity. Like when people do a hobby, they're not getting paid for it. They're attracted to it on the platform of liberation. Whenever we do anything not out of obligation, whenever we do something just out of love and joy, it gives us a little idea and how Krishna attracts even those who are liberated. Now, Krishna's super excellence, he has four qualities that only he manifests. Performer of wonderful activities, like the Rasa Lila. And we can remember all these wonderful activities of Krishna. Surrounded by loving devotees. We can remember this whenever some big person is surrounded by their entourage. Prabhupada would always use this as an example, that the king doesn't come alone. Yes. Teachers have their students, actors have their paparazzi. And Krishna is always surrounded by his devotees. And his attractive flute. Music is so attractive in this world. So many people pay so much money, travel so much distances just to hear some music. And you can remember how Krishna is just playing his flute. And Lord Brahma becomes astonished. The four Kumaras become astonished. Anantadev starts moving his heads back and forth. I wonder if that makes earthquakes or something. And Lord Shiva stops playing his drum. And then Krishna's great beauty, unrivaled. So because it's unrivaled, how can we think of anything that reminds us? Yes? But we can think of how people try for this. They have so many beauty contests. You know, they have beauty contests even for their dogs. What is the most beautiful dog? This can remind us that Krishna is the only actually unrivaled beauty. So of course, we are very grateful to Srila Prabhupada, who gave us this summary study of the Nectar Devotion, one of my favorite books of Srila Prabhupada, and to Rupa Goswami, who wrote these descriptions of Krishna's 64 qualities. Again, this is part of the one of the five aspects of rasa. This is the vibhav, and this is part of the alambana, vishaya. This is part of being attracted to Krishna, And of course, but the way we were looking at them today was part of the Udipanas, part of the what Prabhupada calls compelling the stimulants for ecstatic love. So it is 9:03, and I'm sure now everybody is hungry. Should we just stop now, or any questions, or what do you do?
Questions?
You want some questions? Then no one will want me to come back if I go over time. We can take one or two very short questions. Anybody?
Just a point of information.
Yes, Arash.
Whatever that means.
A point of information.
And then after devotion, Prabhupada mentions that the living entity has 50 qualities, like a quantity, and also a liberated soul has the next 5.
So the one shared with Lord Shiva. Oh, thank you, Maharaj. Thank you.
In minute quantity.
In minute quantity, yes. We are not going to be unlimitedly grateful. We are not going to have unlimited beauty. But as the soul, we have beauty and gratefulness. Yes? We have another question here? You're just holding the mic? He's like, no, I'm just holding the mic. Does anyone else have anything they'd like to add? Okay, so I'm going to give the same request I made yesterday. So we're going to be discussing this again Sunday morning. Then we're going to talk about all the I am. I am the taste of water. I am the light of the sun. I am the heat and fire. So now it is Friday, yes? Friday morning, so 48 hours. So if you could choose 1, 2, maybe 3 of these qualities of Krishna and that you're going to meditate on, make some decision now. What quality of Krishna, I mean, you could choose more, but 1, 2, 3 is usually enough for most of us. What am I going to meditate on in the day, and what am I going to have in my life that reminds me of these qualities of Krishna? And the more we meditate on them, the more Maya Shakta Manaparta, the more we become attached to Krishna. And the more we become attached to Krishna, the more we advance in devotional service. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Iskandabhyana ki jai.